Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep, where is he? And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. I'll talk to D. Rose. Yeah, guys. Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Clean turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. Matt, what's going on? How are you? I'm excited to get into these mailbag questions. I know we do mailbag every week, and I'm thrilled that our listeners are still out there, still paying attention, still thoroughly listening to us, but also interacting on social media and interacting through our text and voicemail line, still in a dead period where, I mean, dude, we haven't had actual Bulls basketball since March, and we still got people texting us in daily, so we appreciate everybody out there, and I'm thrilled to get into some of these mailbag questions today. But first and foremost, how you doing, man?
Yeah, what up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? Happy to be on with you. Looking forward to some mailbag stuff today. Yeah, it is nice the way that the timing worked out, that in this never before seen crazy long extended offseason where the Bulls aren't doing anything, well, we are getting gearing up for, you know, some of these offseason activities with players at the Advocate Center. You know, we saw Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, among others, posting some stuff on Instagram today. They're there, they're working out, they're getting hyped up. But yeah, in the Advocate Center, like 6 months. Shut up, Gar. The past 6 months have been crazy in that the Bulls have been a dormant team, but there's been, fortunately for us and fortunately for the fan base, plenty to talk about. If it were status quo, John still VP, Gar still our GM, Jim Boylan still the coach, and we're all just sitting around with our thumbs up our butts, this would have been an unbearable time to be a Bulls fan. But we got, at first, the hype and the speculation about who's the new front office going to be. And then we got to react to that front office. We also got the last dance thrown in there in the spring and early summer. And then we got, okay, the Jim Boylan speculation. And then we got the Jim Boylan firing. And then we got now the head coaching speculation with all the different candidates and the drafts right around the corner. I know it got pushed back from October to November, but, you know, we still got however many weeks of talking about the coach, who's it going to be, and then reacting to who they choose. And then it'll be draft time. Honestly, like we are so lucky that there's so much Bull stuff going on, even though, as you said, there's actually no Bull stuff going on.
How long ago does The Last Dance feel? Holy shit, man.
A lifetime. A lifetime. 2020 will never fucking end.
It really won't. And it feels insane. Like, this year feels absolutely insane. And just thinking, like, Bulls timeline-wise, I mean, The Last Dance feels forever ago. I might actually have to go back and binge that. It feels like it's been too long since I've seen it. It's only been, what, a month and a half since I've seen the full series. So, I don't know. It is crazy, but we appreciate all the support out there from everybody that's listening. And hopefully we're keeping it entertaining enough for you guys to continue to stick around. And, I mean, we've got Bulls training camp coming up here, or what they call our mini camps. So I'm sure we're going to get a plethora of players talking over the next week, or at least I'm crossing my fingers that guys like Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, who we saw pictures tweeted out by the Bulls Twitter today, that they're in the building. So that's a good thing. And hopefully we get a chance to maybe hear from one of these guys on a regular basis. Because, I mean, it's been, what, 6 months since we've actually gotten a chance to hear from any of these guys on this team. So it will be nice once we can kind of get back into a regular Bulls routine with actual action on the court. But yeah, man, this has been the longest year ever. But it's nice to see the Bulls finally
in this building.
There was one thing I was going to ask you before we go to our text and voicemails really quick. Do you imagine anybody not showing up for these mini camps, training camps, workouts, anything like that? Anybody of significance that would be like, oh, damn, I wish he would be there, develop a little bit more chemistry, maybe work on his game? Or is it, I guess to you, does it not really matter all that much?
I mean, I don't know that it matters greatly. You would like to see full participation, especially knowing that I think for the most part, this roster are all pretty excited about the changeover, not only in the front office, but a new coach coming in on the way. Happy to be rid of Boylan. I mean, like the first name that comes to mind as far as like somebody who might decide, yeah, I don't need to be there, would be either of their two free agent signings from last summer, being Thad Young and Satoransky. Satoransky, I'm not sure if he is in Chicago or if he is back home overseas right now. You know, somebody on Twitter is like has like daily updates on Satoransky, but I haven't seen anything recently. And then Thad Young being just like a veteran who's like, you know, he wanted out. Like a third of the way through his first season here, he wanted out. He stuck around. The Bulls didn't trade him. And he's got another year under contract and then, you know, that that team option in year three. But maybe he's decided that he's ready to buy back in. We'll see. Because as of right now, what we know about that is that he was unhappy with his minutes and his role last season. We know that unless AK does something crazy and wild, like making draft night trades, that they're still going to try and figure out how to develop Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. And minutes for Thad will be tough to come by. So maybe that's one person who might not be super enthused about doing these, you know, team workouts when they're really not even like doing a training camp gearing up for a season yet. They still have until late December at the earliest. But from all accounts, we haven't heard any specific names of players who are not there and will not be attending. What we have heard is that it sounds like most everybody will be there if they aren't there already.
Yeah, Satoransky was the only one that I was thinking of. And I mean, he might still be like, think about how long he had to stay here in the U.S. just before he got the official, hey, season's over with. Now you can leave the country and go to the Czech Republic, go back with your family. And that was one of his concerns all the way back in April and May. And he's like, all right, like, can we come to a decision here? Because there's players that want to leave and are away from their families, kind of hanging in limbo. But yeah, like you said, I would imagine the majority of the guys will be there, and that's a good thing. And once the draft comes up in 6-8 weeks from now, you can throw those rookies in there and start to really get things going. The next target should be, and again, I think it's coming soon, is the Bulls head coach. With these mini camps going on right now and players finally back in the building, you want that fresh face, your coaching staff built and ready to go as soon as possible. Because think about how all the time the Bulls have lost compared to some other teams. So they got to get going and get going quick. So with that, let's go to our text and voicemails. 331-979-1369, the place you can drop all your texts, all your voicemails, anything you got for us. Before I get there, I want to tell you guys about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Matt, you want to go voicemail first or you want to take a couple texts before?
Let's take a couple of text messages. Okay, this one says, hey guys, Parker here from the 815. I came across a potential trade the other day and want to hear your thoughts. So much potential draft trade stuff right now, Jordan. I love it. Okay, so Parker says it's a three-team deal with Golden State, Orlando, and Chicago. The Warriors get Vooch, Birch, and the 15th pick. Orlando gets LaVine, Sato, Looney, the fourth pick, and a 2021 pick from Golden State via Minnesota. Chicago gets Wiggins, Isaac, and the second pick. Despite Isaac's injury and Wiggins' contract, I believe this is the move they need to make to begin a trend in the right direction. It'll get us either Ball or Edwards with that second pick. Would love to hear your take. Wow, that's an interesting one. A lot of moving pieces there, Jordan. What do you think?
I'm trying to remember. Okay, did Jonathan Isaac tear his ACL? Is that what happened to him in the bubble?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
See, that would be a huge worry. Let me just double check
that. And it was like right away, wasn't it? Like in one of their first couple of games. Oh, and it was there was that crazy awful part of Twitter where just Twitter's the worst place ever. You know, it was nice to take a break from that. Where like some people were clowning him for that injury right after he was a player who decided to stand during the anthem instead of kneeling. You remember that?
Yes. And yeah, it was awful. And an awful situation that happened to him too. Thinking about the Bulls in the context of trading for him, though, like, all right, let's not let Chicago become the place where we start to rehab everybody that has an ACL injury. We did it with Zach LaVine. We don't want to do it with Jonathan Isaac. I'm not trying to do it. You know, we did it with Derrick Rose. I'm not trying to be the number one spot where guys come and rehab their ACLs and then leave us. Jonathan Isaac's a great player, but besides that, like if that injury didn't happen, this gets a lot closer for me. But having to take all that money on for Andrew Wiggins and then you're getting a unknown player in Jonathan Isaac with a torn ACL, I get you're moving up to the number two pick. It's an intriguing trade, but think about all the context around that. And maybe our texter forgot about Jonathan Isaac's injury.
Well, I mean, Parker said despite Isaac's injury. So he's aware that is something that is a factor here. I agree with you, though. I just think it's too big of a factor and too big of a risk. We saw, and you know, knock on wood, he looks stronger than ever. Zach LaVine make that incredible comeback from a torn ACL himself. I'm with you. I don't want to go through that worry again of like whether or not this player can be who they were before and perhaps even better than who they were before, such a significant injury, especially for NBA players. And to me, like the best part of this trade for the Bulls is moving from 4-2 to like increase the odds of getting the guy you want. Maybe that's LaMelo Ball, maybe it's not. But I don't love the Isaac injury risk. I also don't love Wiggins as a player, and obviously the contract is bad, and you're giving up LaVine. Like, if you're going to give up LaVine, I would like it to be for something better than that.
Totally agree, because you're not even getting a borderline star back in return. You're getting all maybes. I mean, and Jonathan Isaac is a huge question. The number two pick's a huge question.
And if this were a hypothetical about the draft last year, where you would move up number two, and yeah, it would hurt to get rid of LaVine, but you're also getting Ja or, you know, Zion, whatever. Yeah. Two drafts ago, three drafts ago, moving from four to number two, absolutely. That's a lot more enticing. In this year's draft class, moving from number four to number two is just kind of like, eh?
Totally agree. I'm 100% with you. Yeah, the value of those draft picks were way higher last year than they are this year. So it's close. I think you can find a three-way deal between Orlando and Golden State and the Bulls where it all makes sense. But again, yeah, LaVine's your highest asset, so I've got to get more back for LaVine in terms of actual, I know this is going, at least one of these pieces is going to work out for me. It's just way too low of a value, and why take on that contract for Wiggins when you don't really have to?
Although, Jordan, one tiny little hidden gem part of this trade, when you're talking about what other teams are getting, Orlando gets LaVine. So now you got Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon as teammates just trying to one-up each other with dunks in-game. How awesome would that be?
Damn, that would be insane. That would be absolutely insane. You would get the dunk contest 82 nights
a year. It would just be a regular season in-game dunk contest. It would be awesome.
Man, that would be a lot of fun to watch. Interesting trade. Thanks for the text, Parker. Matt, I've got another trade scenario for you really quick. This was sent to me on Twitter. So it has Chandler Hutchison, Thaddeus Young, and the Bulls 2021 second round pick going to the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers sending back Josh Richardson and Mike Scott. This works in favor of the Bulls. It stays within the cap limit. Thaddeus Young still signed for $13.5 million, and Chandler Hutchison's deal is worth $2.4 million. Josh Richardson's on two years left on his contract, $10.8 million, and Mike Scott's got a year left at $5 million. So this fits kind of a couple holes. The 76ers don't have to give up Simmons or Embiid, but they shake up their lineup a little bit. You get a great defender in Thaddeus Young. You get to take a shot on a controllable young player in Hutchinson, and you're getting a second-round pick back. You only have, what, 2 years of control of Josh Richardson. He hasn't done a whole lot for you in that 76ers team, so you bring him to the Bulls. I like the athleticism in him, too, and like thinking about the way that you can build this team and putting Josh Richardson at the three, run-and-gun team. I mean, it might be a lot of fun next to Zach LaVine. And the Bulls aren't giving up a whole lot. What do you think about this trade?
Yeah, I agree that you're not sacrificing a lot. Richardson is an intriguing option. To me, Scott's just kind of like, eh, whatever. Richardson, I mean, like, I feel like it was, you know, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, where, like, everybody was super high on Josh Richardson. You know, the way that he had taken a step or two in Miami, and you know, a guy who was looking like he was building a reputation for his consistency. You know, he played and started 81 games of the 17-18 season for the Heat. Last season, 18-19, started and played 73 of 82, and like was showing you what he could be as a complimentary piece, especially that 18-19 season where he averaged 16.5 points on top of four dimes and 3.5 rebounds per game, shooting a pretty impressive percentage, you know, 45% from the field, 35 respectable from the 3-point line. I'm lukewarm about this one. What about you?
Yeah, I'm just looking at his numbers from Philly. He obviously had a down year in Philly compared to going for Miami. Yeah. But if you feel like your team is strong enough, you're going to bring a defensive-minded coach in. That's the thing, is like he's been a minus defender last year. And the only place he was an average defender where he was coming out even in either offensive rating or defensive rating where he was coming out net positive was in Eric Spoelstra's system, which, I mean, you could stick Cristiano Felicio in Miami's system, and he would come out at least a zero when it comes to net rating. So, I don't know. If you bring in a defensive-minded coach, I'm more with it, because then you've got a shitload of athleticism, a shitload of speed, and maybe he bounces back from that weird year in Philly. And, like, look at what happened to Butler when he went to Philly. I'm not saying Jimmy Butler and Josh Richardson are the same player at all by any means, but that situation in Philly has been fucked. So maybe getting him out of there, getting him a clean slate, and coming to the Bulls, and hey, you're only taking a shot on him for 2 years. So if it doesn't work out, it's not that big of a deal. The Bulls would just have to compromise by understanding that last year he didn't play a whole hell of a lot of minutes at the wing position, although the previous 3 years, that was his main spot. In Miami, he played 55% of his minutes there in 2018-2019, and then almost 80 minutes in the prior 2 years. So bringing him in to be your small ball wing might actually not be a bad idea. I just don't know if Philly says yes to this. This might be too much for them to give up in order to deal back for Thaddeus Young, Chandler Hutchinson, and a second-round pick.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. And like, yeah, his production did dip his first year in Philly. But, you know, he went from like 16.5 points a game to like 13 points and change per game. But he also dropped about 5 minutes per game. So he just was not getting as many opportunities in that Philly offense that had a lot of mouths to feed. I think he saw a drop of like 3 or 4 field goal attempts per game as well. So, you know, you're right. Maybe it could be one of those just need for a change of scenery things. Obviously, he, you know, something else, another factor. He's got that player option in 2021 for the 21-22 season where he's making 11.6. Depending on, you know, what else happens with the NBA and the salary cap between now and then, that's one that's kind of a toss-up. Would you expect him to pick up that option that's, you know, modest, but certainly not anything to sneeze at, $11 million. Is the cap going to go down 2 seasons in a row? The 2021 free agent class is expected to be dynamite with all of the big name stars. So maybe he feels like, you know, does he want to not be a free agent in that class because he doesn't want to compete with everybody else when everybody's trying to make money in a cap tightened situation for all the teams across the league? A lot of different hypotheticals there. I like Josh Richardson, but obviously this was a down year where everybody was getting really hyped about his potential, maybe even star potential, and that took a step back with the Sixers. All right, Jordan, let's move on to a email. This is sort of more of a big picture Bulls organization question from our buddy Troy in Adelaide, Australia. Hey guys, just want to get your thoughts on the idea that we cannot attract big names to the Bulls. In the past, it's been because of how the Jordan era ended, then Gar Pax and Boylan. Now that Gar Pax and Boylan have been removed and we have Arturas and Eversley, can Chicago become a real big name destination, especially with AK's great reputation around the league? Cheers. Keep up the great work. Thanks for checking in, Troy. This is one that I think plagues the minds of Bulls fans every day, Jordan. I was just talking about how the free agent class of 2021 is going to be massive with the Bucks getting bounced in the second round. Everybody's talking about Giannis. What's Giannis going to do? You know, Kawhi and Paul George are both on 2-year deals with the Clippers. They just blew up in a disappointing way. There's going to be other big names. Klay Thompson's name is thrown in there, among others. Can the Bulls, because I would think you and I are on the same page, that they're not expected to do anything in free agency this offseason. They just don't have the flexibility, and they clearly still have a damaged reputation, as Troy pointed out. A year from now, do you see that being fixed?
I heard, you hear from some players, and you hear from former GMs and guys that have worked in the front offices saying that, yeah, it could potentially flip overnight, where your franchise has looked one way, and then within a matter of weeks, you make a bunch of changes, and then it looks completely different. But this isn't just a Bulls problem. This is a Chicago problem. For whatever reason, this city has not had good success in signing top-tier free agents, no matter what team you look at. I mean, who's the best free agent Chicago's ever signed? The Blackhawks and Marian Hossa? That's probably your best signing right there. The Bulls' best signing ever in free agency? Who is that? Who is it, Carlos Boozer or Pau Gasol?
Yeah, I would say Pau, probably.
So it's not just a Bulls problem, it's a Chicago problem. So I think the quickest way for the Bulls to fix that is you go and trade for the star. You go out in free agency and you still realize, even making all these changes in the front office, hey, we're still having a difficult time convincing guys just with money that this is the right spot to come to. Maybe we go deal for somebody and convince them that way and have a little bit more time. I mean, that's probably the route that the Bulls would be smartest to go. I would hope that maybe you can convince it, in 2 summers, you can convince one of those massive free agents to come here. But I think it's going to take the players. It's going to take the players too that you have on your roster to convince them. So we need them to be good, but you also got to have some type of talent here to make it convincing as well. It's going to be a group effort for this Bulls team, not just the front office, but also the players that you have here long-term advocating for other guys to come here. So maybe that means Zach LaVine holds even more importance to this team long-term if you're talking about bringing multiple stars, especially in free agency.
Yeah, I think the removal of some of these warts in the front office, and certainly the removal of a coach that nobody in this league wants to play for because he treats them like children and patronizes them and throws them under the bus when they lose, that's a good step. Those are two good steps towards fixing the completely tarnished reputation of this team across the league. And if AK and Eversley actually make this team a players first organization, and dragging the Reinsdorfs kicking and streaming along with them as they try to accomplish that, maybe some players will start to think of Chicago in a different light. But you are absolutely spot on when you say it's not just about that. You got to have talent in place that other stars want to play with. Because remember, like, before we traded Jimmy, and then there were some rumors about how Jimmy and Kyrie wanted to play together. And then, like, there was talks about a Boston trade or Kyrie trying to force his way out to come to Chicago. And then there was a report here in Chicago that was, like, basically Jimmy said, never mind, don't come here. Shit's fucked up here. That was only a few years ago. And is Zach LaVine a player that other people in the league want to play with? Maybe. We don't really know anything about that. Because guess what? He's not he hasn't been invited to Team USA stuff, or he hasn't gone. Hey, he hasn't made an all-star team to hang out at all-star weekend with all these guys, even though he was like, yeah, okay, I'll do a dunk contest or a three-point contest this year. But Zach is the best player this team has, and he has not yet developed that level of connection as far as we know. Maybe he's got various stokes and various fires, but as far as we know, as the fans, we haven't heard anything about such and such star player in the NBA saying, yeah, man, I really want to go to Chicago and play with Zach LaVine. So you got to have talent that people want to come and play with, or you have to be able to orchestrate something where you've got a nice foundation of pieces and a desirable place to play. And that's where the whole, reputation and front office stuff comes in, where you could do something like what Kawhi and Paul George did last summer, where it's like, okay, two players who have either free agency or Paul being able to use his leverage to force his way out of a situation to go team up. Basically the exact same thing LeBron and AD did too. They both went to LA. So Chicago still has that not desirable because state taxes and it's winter 6 months of the year. We just saw a report last week when, you know, when you were speaking, it's not a Bulls problem, a Chicago problem. The Bears and Tom Brady were talking, but apparently after 20 some years of playing in Boston, Tom Brady at his age was done playing football in the cold. So he went to Tampa Bay instead.
It's disappointing. It's disappointing that that's the way that it's looked at, but I mean, it's the reality. And so I guess the best way, and this was even going back to Paxson and Gar too, is like the easiest way to get a star in Chicago at this point is either you have to develop him or you have to trade for him. And we are still not 100% sure what the tactic or the strategy by AK and Mark Eversley is going to be, right? At least in the short term, we don't. Is AK going to follow the same blueprint he did in Denver? And look how successful that's been. That tells me then maybe they're just going to be patient and try to develop their own guys. This might take a little longer. Or maybe he presses a little bit. Maybe look at the 76ers. They went out and traded for multiple stars and tried to get it going right away. So maybe that philosophy is taken. And you see somebody be traded here in the next couple of seasons that you wouldn't have thought before. So I think there's two philosophies that might be merging here, Matt. We might get best of both worlds. So I personally think, though, it's still going to be difficult for the Bulls to sign anybody of massive, massive caliber. I'm talking top 10, top 15 players in the league. It's going to be very tough for the Bulls to do that over the next couple of seasons. But you got to start somewhere, and Bulls have to build equity in these players and build trust. And they have to build trust around the league, and that's word to mouth among players and among coaches. So I guess we'll just wait and see. Thanks for the question, though. That's an intriguing one we haven't talked about in a while. Matt, you want to get to this voicemail, and then we'll get out of here?
Let's do it.
Hey, Locked On Bulls. This is Sam from L.A. I had a question about trading within the draft. I know the Celtics have about 3 first-round picks, and they might not have space to add more young guys. Do you think the Bulls should be able to strike a deal with the Celtics to maybe get another pick or two from the Celtics, maybe take on a contract from the Celtics? I know they might want to offload Hayward if he's making too much money and they want to get more time with Marcus Smart in the lineup. Just let me know your thoughts and go Bulls.
So interesting. And I was actually taking a look at the Celtics the last couple of days when we were talking about trades, because I think that's an intriguing place too, especially if they're one piece away. They end up losing to Miami here. Team has still had a really good year and a whole lot of really young, promising pieces on that team with controllable contracts. That being said, with Hayward being only having one more year on his deal at, holy shit, Matt, $34 million. He's got a player option for next season. But only 1 year left on that deal. That will free up money for them after the 2021 season. But what do you think about this with the Celtics having 3 picks in the first round? AK also mentioning that he doesn't feel like this is that bad of a draft. If the Bulls are looking to move down or move multiple secondary pieces on this team, acquiring and coming back into the first round for with another pick.
Yeah, so it's an interesting idea. I'm just not sure how realistic it is. You mentioned Hayward's player option, $34 million. And
$34 million. Holy
shit. For 2021. That's a lot. And you would assume, again, based on what we were talking about earlier with the whole cap situation across the league, he's probably going to pick up that $34 million, especially considering this is a guy who has come off of a variety of pretty serious injuries recently in his career, and he's not getting any younger. He's like, he's 30, I believe, right? Yeah, he's 30 years old. And, you know, take that money where you can get it. Hey, by the way, do you know who his agent is, Jordan?
Who's that?
It's Mark Bartlestein.
Oh, wow.
So there is a little bit of a connection there, maybe, where, you know, he's got that open back door to the Bulls organization. But first of all, you know, you got to talk about matching contracts. So like, nothing can happen until Hayward decides whether or not to pick up that option, because between when the trade deadline of that previous season passes and then when that deadline expiration date is, or that player option expiration date is, teams cannot trade those players. So it's the same thing that Gordon Hayward has going on right now, same situation that Otto Porter Jr. is in right now for the Bulls. A guy waiting on a player option to be picked up or not. Assuming they're picked up, then they can become tradable again. So to me, that was the first thing that like talks that that maybe makes sense is, you know, because you got to match the money. Otto Porter 27 and Hayward 32, so that would get you most of the way there. You might need one other tiny contract to throw in there to get into that window to make those match up. But then, like, if you're the Celtics, then you're just swapping small forwards. And do you want Otto Porter instead of Gordon Hayward? Because, like, other than that, like, I don't know how the Celtics can be, you know, as our caller suggested, like, getting off of his money when all he's got is a player option for one more year.
Right. So I don't know if they feel like that they can invest in free agency after 2021 and feel like they're a landing spot for anybody else to join them besides Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum, too. And that's another thing that they're going to have to think about, too, is signing Jason Tatum to a long-term contract. And his is coming up. He's got a qualifying offer in 2021-2022 for 12.9. I'm assuming they're going to extend him at some point before that comes up. So that's another thing, too, that they're going to have to think about. And with Jaylen Brown already locked up at $25-plus million a year and Kemba Walker for the next three seasons at $35-plus million, I don't know. Maybe it's a play in which the Celtics are like, hey, Otto Porter's got 1 year and a ridiculous amount of money. Maybe he fits our team. We can take a look at him for a year. He's a better option than Gordon Hayward is, and maybe we want to re-sign him long-term. Maybe we're willing to give up a juice of a first-round pick, swap in Gordon Hayward and a first-rounder for Otto Porter just to take a look at him for a year. If the Celtics are that desperate and feel like they're one piece away, whether it be shooting, a healthy Porter adding to that lineup would be actually pretty good for that team, man. Like, adding Otto Porter fully healthy, what we thought he was going to be for this team, adding him to that Celtics lineup would be pretty damn good. Is it worth it for the Bulls? I mean, that's a one-year test. Hey, you know you're pretty much screwed for next season as far as money goes. So taking a chance on Gordon Hayward, see what he's like, bring him in for a year. If you don't want him, then he's off the books in a year. And you also acquire that first-round pick. It's intriguing. It's close.
Yeah, I mean, again, and I think this goes back to a previous question, is this draft worth trading up for or trading to acquire more picks for? I just, you know, some people are saying, including, as you pointed out, our new VP, AK, is like, oh, there's a lot of talent in this draft. And, you know, the draft, it's a total toss-up, man. Like, sometimes you know a stud is going to be a stud, and then they bust, and then sometimes they are studs, and then sometimes you get these diamonds in the rough that nobody expected to be as good as they are. And then sometimes you take a swing in the middle of the lottery and you miss. Like, it's all a fucking crapshoot. You know, that's, you know, for all the ragging that the Bulls fan base loves to do about the poor scouting in recent years and the misses in the draft, it's a hard job. I'm glad it's not my job, because when you mess up, people are absolutely coming for your head. Just look at Ryan Pace and the Mitchell Trubisky situation the Bears are in right now. What a whiff, and everyone is coming for your head. With Gordon Hayward, it's just like the injuries scare me. The injuries scare me. I don't think this draft class is worth bringing on that player just to get a couple extra picks in a weak draft class. There's also that other element where Gordon Hayward might be like a MAGA douchebag. And, you know, not to say that that's like the most important factor when deciding whether or not to trade for somebody, but I don't want that shit on my team.
And thinking it more in terms of the juice that you would get in that first round pick might be intriguing enough. And like you said, it's only, and think about it, it's only a 1 year deal. Like, you have to pay either Porter or Hayward that money anyway. And while Hayward is what I think $5 million more than Porter would be that year, I wouldn't be necessarily more concerned with that. It would be who's intriguing enough in the middle of that first round that's worth taking a shot on if the Celtics are willing to give up a first round pick. I mean, is Cole Anthony worth it? If he's there at 14, is RJ Hampton worth it at 14 if he's there? I mean, those are two dudes that were top 15 recruits last year, and Cole Anthony with a bad injury, otherwise that dude's a lottery pick outside of his injury last year that cost him most of his season. So I don't know. It's going to be up to AK and Mark Eversley in doing their due diligence during these NBA combines to really see what's available 1 through 30. There's a deal possible. Is it probable? I don't know. And maybe we don't even see it till draft night till we see where the guys shake out, right?
Right. And then the other factor that I think is important here is, what do the Celtics do between now and when this 1920 season finally comes to an end? Do they beat Miami and get to the finals? I would say the odds are crazy long shot that they would win the finals, assuming that the Lakers come out. If it's that somehow the Nuggets upsetting the Lakers, then maybe you call that series, you know, a coin flip, Boston, Denver. But if Danny Ainge and the Celtics look at the situation and say, like, we got to the finals, or certainly at least the conference finals, without Gordon Hayward for that whole playoff run, if he doesn't come back, or maybe comes back, plays limited minutes, isn't all that effective. And as our caller mentioned, you know, Marcus Smart, meanwhile, rising and rising with his efficiency, not just as a dominant defensive player, but contributing more on offense, knocking down that three-point shot at a more consistent rate. Then you're like, well, yeah, we don't really need Gordon Hayward. So in that sense, maybe they would be looking to move off of him, assuming he picks up the option. So I think whether or not the Celtics find continued success in this playoff run of theirs might dictate that decision from their side as well.
Yeah, it's all. I think you're right. I think it's all going to kind of depend on where they feel they land after this series is over. And if it's them going to the finals, maybe they stand pat, right? They're like, okay, adding Gordon Hayward for one more year, having to pay him and he's off the books, even if he's terrible next year. I mean, our team already set without him has been fantastic. It's gotten us this far to this point. So it's certainly an intriguing deal. And I think that was one of the like five or six teams, Matt, that I was thinking across the league, not even after the draft, throughout the offseason, that the Bulls could might be able to strike a deal with, considering the pieces that are on this team and what would be swappable with others. The Celtics were definitely on my mind there. Among the others were the 76ers were another one. The Jazz were one. And certainly the Nuggets were another. So
just one more final thought. The trade's got to be desirable for both teams. And I know we're saying, you know, maybe the Celtics feel like they don't need Hayward, especially if they get to the finals without him, but what are they getting in that trade? If the Celtics are going to give up a couple of picks just to get off of Hayward's money a little earlier, but you're still only, you know, saving yourself maybe one other roster spot for like a, you know, a mid-level contract for somebody else that you want to bring in instead.
Otto Porter's 3 years younger, though. If you're taking a look at a guy long-term, like to follow the same timelines as Brown, Smart, and Tatum, and Walker.
But then you're just swapping one injury-prone guy for another if it's Hayward and Porter.
That's true, but I guess you take the lesser of two evils, right? Giving up one first-round pick, even if it is the one that's at 26 rather than being at 14. If you're giving up the 26th pick, it's probably a little bit lesser value.
Let's also realize that this is the Celtics management team we're talking about, and they don't like giving people picks. They love taking people picks.
It's true. It's true. That's a good point. Well, we'll have to see. And like, I want to preface this too, because as we talk about this over the next couple of months, Matt, people are going to start to tend to think, we're going to get the tweets, we get it every year, where people are like, why you guys want to trade everybody? It's like, no. We're talking through every scenario possible, and with a new front office and with the flexibility that the Bulls have with all these pieces around, and we're not really sure what the front office thinks of any of them, a lot could happen. So we're talking through all the scenarios and all the ones that you guys are thinking of as well. So just talking through logic is the best way to approach it before the draft and even before the offseason starts. But it's going to be exciting. I think the Bulls are going to have an exciting offseason, and we'll see what happens coming up here in training camp. But that's going to about do it here for Locked On Bulls. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thanks to our sponsor, RockAuto.com. Go to RockAuto.com and mention Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box, 331-979-1369. The place to hit us up. Text and voicemails there. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Rondo for three.
Oh, sriracha.
He's got some swag.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.